Please turn your Old Testament to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. While you're doing that, I want to say thank you for being here tonight. I know there are a lot of things you could be doing and otherwise would be doing on this Monday night, but you've chosen to be here. Interest in spiritual things and willing to worship God with people here and listen to the preaching of His Word. Homiletics is the study of preparing and preaching sermons. And there was a homiletics teacher who would stand before his class of men day in and day out, and they would study various methods and approaches to preaching. But every two or three days, he would remind his men of this and say, remember that when we step into the pulpit, that our objective is not for people to say, oh, what a great sermon, but for people to say, oh, what a great God. And that is my objective tonight. I appreciate people saying that I have a good sermon. It encourages me and gets me to work harder and keep working. But my ultimate objective is that people will love Jesus and believe that God is great and want to know Him and be His now and forever. I hope I can help us all do that a little better this evening. The days of Judges were dark days in the history of the nation of Israel. The dismal situation is captured by a phrase that brackets the closing chapters of the book of Judges. It is a phrase that says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Judges delivered the people of God from her enemies. But most judges did not lead the nation in God's way or did not do that very effectively. So during this period, the people of God slipped and slid into moral and spiritual chaos. And as 1 Samuel opens, Eli is priest and judge in Israel, but his sons are corrupt. Eli didn't do nearly enough to correct them, apparently, and God was not pleased. As a result of this, according to 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent. Put all this together, and God just didn't have much to say to His people because people weren't listening. So the house of Eli would soon be punished. And the nation at that time languished. But God was about to change all this. And He would change it through His prophet, Samuel, a man who would listen to God. Let's pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not gone out. Had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. That the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here am I. Then he ran to Eli and said, here am I, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know that the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you called me. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel in which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew. because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. But Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. And Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son?" And he said, "Here am I." He said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Then Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. All Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. We have some, in this paragraph, we have some essential lessons that we want to learn this evening. Some lessons about listening to God. First thing I want you to observe with me tonight is that Samuel was in a place to listen to God. God, as you remember, was directly involved in Samuel's birth. His mother, Hannah, had been barren, and she prayed fervently for a child. And she pledged to give that child to the Lord. And in time, Hannah conceived with the help of God. And she gave birth to Samuel. And true to her word, she dedicated Samuel to the Lord's service and left him at Shiloh at the tabernacle to serve along with Eli the priest. Now I want you to notice some things in this passage about Samuel. In chapter 2, verse 18, we read that he was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod. And what we must be impressed with about Samuel is that he lived and acted before the Lord. That becomes a key phrase in describing Samuel. And here he was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod. And in chapter 2, verse 21, the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. And so in a special sense, Samuel was in the Lord's presence. There was a stark contrast to that. It was Eli's sons. According to chapter 2, verse 12, they did not know the Lord. According to chapter 2, verse 17, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men despised the offering of the Lord. So while Samuel was growing in favor, both with the Lord and with people, as verse 26 of chapter 2 tells us, God was acting to bring judgment against the house of Eli and to terminate his family's service at the altar. So it is no surprise that in that sad and sordid situation, that word from the Lord was rare. But it's important to notice that Samuel served before the Lord. And he did that in close proximity to the tabernacle and the ark of God. Notice in chapter 3, verse 3, that he was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Think about his position. And it was here that Samuel first heard the voice of God. So it went like this. One night, the Lord called to Samuel, but Samuel thought it was Eli. So he ran to Eli to make himself available to his mentor. But Eli said that he had not called. So Samuel lay down again. The Lord called a second time. Again, Samuel responded to Eli, but Eli explained that he had not called. But Eli catches on to what's happening here. Most likely he had heard God speak before. Samuel had not, but most likely Eli had. And so he figures it out. And Samuel hears a third call and he goes to Eli. It's at that point that Eli gives Samuel instructions. He says, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And sure enough, that's what happened. The Lord said, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said the right words. He said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." But what is significant is that Samuel not only said those words that night, but he was true to those words for his lifetime. He spent his life Samuel spent his life listening to God. But I don't want us to miss the import of where Samuel was when he heard God speak. He was in the tabernacle near the Ark of the Covenant. He was in the sphere of God. He was in close proximity to the symbol of God's special presence. And I think there's an important and significant lesson for us to learn from this. If we are going to listen to God, if we are going to hear the voice of God, then we have to make ourselves available to Him. We must open our ears so God can open our hearts. I try to talk to my wife Susan sometimes when she's in our laundry room. It's a smaller room just off of our kitchen. And while she's in that room, the water is usually running, filling up the washer, or the agitator is sloshing, washing the clothes, or the dryer is tumbling. And I'm rattling off in the kitchen about something, and she's not hearing one word that I'm saying. Now she comes out and she does not acknowledge anything I've said because she hasn't heard anything I've said. Well, sometimes we're like that with God. We let other things distract us or drown out what He is saying. And sometimes we don't listen, we don't hear God. Sometimes we don't hear God simply because we don't listen. So how can we listen to God today? Well, most of us know the answer to that. We do that through His Word. God oversaw the writing of Scripture so that the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, is at the same time the Word of men and the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. Maybe this is a good time for a short lesson about inspiration. To make sure we all understand that what the Bible is, it's a unique book that is at the same time God's Word and man's Word. Luke, for example, in the New Testament, in the beginning of his gospel, Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, notes that he had a specific purpose in mind when he was writing. He was writing to Theophilus, and he had a purpose in mind, and he tells us that he had researched his subject carefully, and he wrote it out in a certain order. So he indicates the human dimension of the Bible. Research, purpose, writing. Now combine that with what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He notes in chapter 2, verse 9, that eye has not seen and ear has not heard and things have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. But Paul goes on to say, but God revealed them to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And Paul goes on to say in verse 13 that the Spirit helped him combine spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So notice what's going on. We have a human production that involved research, purpose, and writing. And yet we have the Spirit of God at work with chosen men. I think the key idea is that the Holy Spirit oversaw the process. That's what inspiration is. The Holy Spirit oversaw the process so that the product, which is our Scripture, so the product is both the words of men and the words of God. And so there are different styles, there are different types of writing, there are different purposes. But all of them are overseen by the Holy Spirit to the extent that they all constitute the Word of God. All Scripture is inspired. So that when we read the words of Scripture, listen to this, when we read the words of Scripture, we hear the voice of God. It is a Word that has the Spirit of God at work in it. So we must place ourselves before God so that we can hear His voice. Reading the Bible, obviously, is a primary way that we do that. I want us to be impressed with King Josiah. We read about him in 2 Kings chapter 22. He became king at an early age. At one point in his reign, he chose to do some renovations of the temple, and he began to think in spiritual terms. During the renovation of the temple, a book was found. It was the book of the law, and was found in the house of the Lord. And according to 2 Kings 22, 8 to 10, Shaphan the scribe brought the book to the king and read it in his presence. And when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he was deeply moved. And he learned that what had been happening in Israel was happening for a reason. What had been happening in Israel was happening because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book. And Josiah set out to change that. And so he listened to the word of God. But that's not the greatest thing Josiah did. He listened to the word of God, but he made it possible for the people of God, the people of Judah, to listen to the voice of God. And so we read in chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, that Josiah saw to the reading. And you know, he didn't leave that to others. He had people who would serve in his court, maybe professional readers. He had at least Shaphan the scribe, but he didn't leave that to others. I want us to be impressed with this. Josiah gathers the elders of Israel. He gathers the priests and the prophets and all the people. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. Isn't that incredible and impressive that the king reads the book of the law of God to the people? And the simple lesson for us to learn is that we must do whatever it takes to get ourselves in a position to listen to God. Reading the Bible, being a part of Bible classes, family devotionals, sermons, gospel meetings, listening to the Bible on CD, whatever it takes. We must constantly expose ourselves to the Word of God. We must read the Word of God, understanding it is the voice of God. And we must open ourselves to the Word of God, opening our ears so God can open our hearts. But I want us to take another look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 and learn something else that was going on. And that is that Samuel not only was in a position to listen to God, but he had a heart to listen to God. And how important this was. Samuel's mother, Hannah, had dedicated him to the Lord early in his life. Did you know Samuel had a part in that? He grew, matured, and he could have chosen some other course. But he chose to cooperate with that dedication. And according to chapter 2, verse 11, he was ministering to the Lord before Eli. Now, Eli's sons were the opposite, as we have noticed. They were worthless men who did not know the Lord. They despised the offering of the Lord. They would not even listen to the voice of their father, much less to the Lord. I want you to notice a difference between Eli's sons and Samuel. The difference was not one of access, but attitude. They all had access to God. They all lived in close proximity to the temple and the ark of God. They all had access to the word of God. So the problem was not one of access, it was one of attitude. Samuel was different because he had a heart to hear. Even when God's word was hard to hear, Samuel listened. You know, that first speech God made to Samuel, he explained to him that he was about to judge the house of Eli because of his son's iniquity and Eli's failure to do enough to rebuke it. And you can imagine for a young man, as Samuel was, that was very difficult. That was hard to hear, and Samuel didn't know quite what to do. You know, you don't want to tell that to your mentor, to your teacher. So the next morning, Eli asked what God said. He could tell Samuel didn't want to say it, but Eli encouraged him. He said, "Tell me everything, don't hide anything." And Samuel did. And over time, Samuel matured and the Lord was with him. And chapter 3, verse 19 says that none of Samuel's words failed. And verse 20 tells us that it became clear to Israel that Samuel was a prophet of the Lord. And so he grew and matured and did God's work. because he had a heart for God. Samuel was willing to hear God. And such an important lesson that is for us, that he had a heart. He had a heart to hear. I want to go back a moment to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I mentioned yesterday that these are the passionate speeches that Moses makes on the plains of Moab. He gathers his people and they're going into the land and he will not be going with them. And he preaches to them about the law of God and the heart that they need to have. And it is Moses who says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." Deuteronomy is such a significant book and often overlooked. If anybody ever tells you that the Old Testament is about external and the New Testament about internal, tell them to read the book of Deuteronomy. It's all about the heart. That listening to the Lord and obeying his voice is giving your heart. Deuteronomy is such a significant book, by the way, that when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, everybody knows that he quotes from the scriptures to resist the temptation, but what many people do not know that all three times he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy, which likely indicates that he was meditating and reflecting on that book during the 40 days in the wilderness prior to the temptation. Just throw that in at no extra charge tonight. But in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses talks to his people. Verse 11, he says, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach." He goes on to say that the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. You know, God could communicate with people however he wanted to, and he communicates with people through words, and words that people can understand, comprehend, follow, and obey. He said, "I have given this to you in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it." And Paul quotes and applies this passage in the New Testament in Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 10. That this is the word of faith which we are speaking. What I want to say to us is that God has spoken plainly and clearly. There are some difficult things in the Bible, but for the most part, God has spoken plainly and clearly. It's just not that hard to understand what was going on and what he was doing and what he wants. But do we have a heart to hear? Let's return a moment to Josiah. Back in 2 Kings chapters 22 and 23. Josiah heard the words of the book of the law. But I want you to notice something that I didn't observe with you before, and that is he didn't just hear the words. But according to 2 Kings 23, 18 and 19, God noted to Josiah this: "Regarding the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place, I have truly heard you." Because his heart was tender and he humbled himself before the Lord. I'll say that Josiah heard not only with his ears, but he heard with his heart. Do we do that? Sometimes, you know, we don't listen to God because we don't like what he's saying. We don't like what we're hearing. We don't like what he demands, or we don't like what he forbids. It doesn't fit our agenda. It doesn't fit our schedule. It doesn't fit our idea of what should be done. That is a serious mistake. You ask Cain. Fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, God comes to talk to Cain. Cain had offered a sacrifice that was not acceptable to the Lord. His brother Abel had offered an acceptable sacrifice. So God comes to talk to Cain. And he warns him and he says, "Sin is crouching at the door and it's desirous for you, but you must master it." Cain could have turned that whole situation around. He could have offered an acceptable sacrifice. He could have resisted sin. And God talked to him about it. And he didn't have a heart to listen to what God said. And so he goes out and kills his brother. And he becomes a vagrant and a wanderer on the face of the earth, separated from God. Ask Naaman if it's important to listen to what God says. He almost remained a leper his entire life because he didn't like what the prophet Elisha said. He said, "Go dip so many times in the Jordan River." And Naaman didn't like that. He thought, well, you know, the rivers of Damascus are better than these rivers down here in Israel. And so he almost left the whole scene. And if he had done that, he would have left the same leper that he was when he came. But a servant came and reasoned with him and said, you know, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, you would have done it. But he just told you to do this simple thing. Listen to what God says. And when he did, he came up clean. Jesus exhorted the churches, Revelation chapters 2 and 3, 7 times. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But many believers and churches aren't listening today. People have their own ideas and their own agenda. They may hear words. They may hear with their ears, but they're not hearing with their hearts. They're not listening to what God says with an attitude that I want to know so I can do. Some people want to know so they can argue. Some people want to know so they can find fault. Some people want to know so they can point out something wrong with somebody else. We need to want to know so we can do what God says to do. Well, what about me and you? Are we like Cain or Naaman or many others? You know, we tend to do a lot of finger pointing about this issue when we need to do more heart searching and heart shaping. We need to listen to God with our hearts. Let me tell you one more thing. We need to have hands and feet to listen to God. Samuel became an influential and faithful prophet of God. It became clear in Israel that Samuel was God's prophet. He was God's true representative. God revealed himself to Samuel, and according to chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, that whatever Samuel said happened. He served three different roles. He was prophet, priest, and judge in Israel. And according to chapter 7, verses 15 to 17, he ran a circuit judging Israel and led the nation in some important things. He led them to anoint their first king. He led them to privately anoint David as the next king. Though Samuel's sons did not serve the Lord, and that's so sad. Samuel is one of the few men that, as far as our record goes, think about this, he is one of the few men who had no lapses and no major character flaws. Abraham, you know, laughs at God. Moses has excuses. David commits adultery. But Samuel has no lapses and no major character flaws that are recorded. He served the Lord long and well. And so I think we are able to say that Samuel served God and listened to God with his hands and with his feet as well as his ear. It's one thing to listen to God with our ears. It's another thing to listen with our whole lives. And that's the point that James makes in James chapter 1. And I want to turn there with you to the opening chapter of his letter. He exhorts us, James chapter 1 verse 19, to be quick to hear. It's the only thing he says to be quick to do. Slow to speak, slow to anger, but quick to hear. And James explains the meaning and the implications of that. He says we can be hearers who delude or deceive ourselves. What does that mean? How can that happen? How can we be hearers who delude ourselves? Well, here's how it happens. People can think that simply hearing God's word is enough. You know, I can just read the Bible, or I can go to Bible class, or I can listen to the sermon. That's good, that's important. But if we think that this will do, we deceive ourselves. James says it's like going into a room and you go by a mirror and you see that your hair is all messed up. You know? And you think, you know, I need to straighten up my hair. But somebody comes in about that time and you start talking to them. And you have this long conversation, and the person you're talking with is all the time thinking, you know, why don't they comb their hair? And so the conversation is over, and you go on to something else, and you forget about the fact that your hair is messed up. You saw it in the mirror, but now you've forgotten it. And it stays that way for some time. Well, James says that we can be like that with the Word of God. He says a forgetful hearer. What do? Well, we hear God's word. We recognize something in it that applies to our lives. While we're sitting in the building, we think, you know, I need to give attention to that. That's something that's applicable to me. You know, he spoke right to me today from the word of God. And I need to take some action along that line. But before we take action, things come up. Our attention is diverted. Our minds are distracted. We focus on something else. And then something else, and then something else, and then something else, and the word's lost. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but who's had that happen in their lives? All of us have. I think everybody would raise their hand. And James says that's not the way it should be. We can do better than that. Verse 25 of James 1, but the one who looks intently at the perfect law and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, that man is blessed in what he does. I've developed a little motto for my life. It's nothing profound, but it works for me. And the little motto is that the way to get something done is to do it. I practiced this on Christmas Eve morning back in December. I told you yesterday that sometimes I'm an early riser. So about 4 a.m. Christmas morning, I knew we had a closet that needed to be cleaned out, straightened, and organized. I'm sure that nobody else has a closet like that, but we did. We still have some. Now, this was Christmas Eve, and we had family coming, but I remembered my motto, the way to get something done is to do it. So I began emptying the closet into the den. I put things on the furniture, on the counter, on the floor. I started putting like stuff together. I had a pile of this and a box or two of that. And by the time my wife Susan got up, a couple of hours later, at the time more normal people get up more normally, I had the closet emptied. I had a trash pile started, and I had made a trip to the store to buy some containers to put this stuff in a more organized way. So she comes into the den on Christmas Eve morning, and I will tell you, her first reaction was not joy and peace. Her first reaction said, "What are you doing?" But she knows me. And she sized up the situation and figured that the best thing that she could do was to help me. And so we tore into it, and about 8 a.m. that morning, we had the contents of the closet sorted, organized, and back in place. My plan and my ploy work. The way to get something done is to do it. And that is such an important principle when it comes to the Word of God. More important than cleaning out your closet, and no, I'm not volunteering to cleaning out your closet, but I do want to imprint this on our hearts, that the way to do God's word is to do it. We can think about it, talk about it, plan on it, analyze it, discuss it, make lists, disagree, and so forth. Or we can hear God's word and decide to do it. We can hear it not only with our ears, but with our mouths, our feet, our hands. What James says is that this person will be blessed in what he does. I've emphasized to you already what I want to emphasize in closing, and that is, it is a decision. Serving God is a decision. Being a Christian is a decision. Going to heaven is a decision. And this whole matter about listening to God is a decision. That I will hear not just words with my ears, but I will hear with my heart, my hands, my feet, my mouth. That I will be not a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer of God's word. Well, are you listening to God? God's word said, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have you heard that, not just with your ears, but with your life? God's word said that if we can If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you hearing that just with your ears or with your heart and your soul? Our Lord said, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life." The Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I want to ask us, are we hearing that? Not just with our ears, but with our hands, our mouths, our feet, our whole being. That it is the determination of my life to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, with a conviction that your labor is never, never, never in vain in the Lord. Will you listen with your heart right now and bring your life into full conformity to the will of God? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. We can help you do that. Let us know right now how we can do that as we stand and sing to encourage each other.